The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
It's 12 months since the first COVID case was confirmed in Ireland, 29th of February 2020. But since then, 4,271 have died as a result of the virus and 217,478 have been infected. Jonathan Healy has been looking back at a traumatic year.
The mystery virus started here in the city of Wuhan. Chinese authorities pinpointing its source to this food market. Dozens have been infected, but experts here believe the actual figure is closer to 1,700 cases.
Just 125 nanometers in size, a tiny invader that we'd never encountered before. It started with one human and brought an entire planet to its knees.
Drastic measures to halt the spread of that deadly virus. Wuhan, China, ground zero for the outbreak, now under lockdown. Most of the 17 dead and more than 500 sickened are in Wuhan, where today we saw the first images from the front lines. Patients in isolation units being treated by doctors in biohazard suits. Pharmacies struggling to keep masks on the shelves.
Most Irish people had never even heard of Wuhan, and as we went about our lives, we watched with a curiosity about something that was happening far away. We believed our best defence was simple geographical distance. But we were very wrong.
There is still no confirmed cases in Ireland. As of this week, there has been an increase in coronavirus cases in Europe. This means that the list of affected areas with community transmission has changed. The message for the public is, if you have travelled from one of the affected areas in the past 14 days and have shortness of breath, cough or fever, phone a doctor as soon as possible.
As January turned to February, the world was a little spooked. The virus was being reported in countries other than China. Politicians globally were giving mixed messages.
The virus. They're working hard. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true. But we're doing great in our country, China. I spoke with President Xi, and they're working very, very hard. And I think it's going to all work out fine. Rough stuff, I tell you, rough stuff. But I think it's going to work out good.
But it was never going to vanish by April. Political indecision and scientific ignorance were going to cost many lives. As testing became more available, it became clear that this tiny invader had marched around the planet, aided by the complacency of a population that simply didn't know what a real pandemic would look like. Late February into early March saw heightened anxiety, driven not by what was happening in Wuhan, but in Europe. We started to frantically wash our hands and take a step back from each other. And the mixed messaging continued.
We had a very positive meeting with Minister Harris and his advisers, where we requested an instruction as to the staging of the Ireland v Italy international matches over the weekend. At the meeting, we were informed that the National Public Health Emergency Team has determined that the series of matches should not proceed in the interests of public health.
We're holding this press briefing to confirm that Ireland has had its first case diagnosed of COVID-19. Diagnosis relates to a male in the east of the country and arises as a result of return from one of the affected areas that's been identified, and in this particular case, the north of Italy.
I don't believe it should have happened. I think that those who do return, I would call on them, despite the fact that it hasn't been demanded of them, to self-isolate. And if you know people who've been to Cheltenham, I would suggest you try and avoid too much contact with them for the next 2 weeks. And that's it, because I think that's sensible.
Cheltenham became known as a super spreader event, whatever that was. People who went on ski trips, well, they were eyed suspiciously. The virus didn't care. And for the first time, we had an emergency address from the Taoiseach.
So from 6 p.m. today, the following measures are being put in place, and they will stay in place until the 29th of March. Schools, colleges and childcare facilities will close from tomorrow. Where possible, teaching will be done online or remotely. Cultural institutions will close as well. Our advice is that all indoor mass gatherings of more than 100 people and outdoor mass gatherings of more than 500 people should be cancelled.
The school's closing was merely a portent of what was to follow. Patrick's Day had already been cancelled. But that's not what we'll remember most about March 17th, 2020.
Today's children will tell their own children and grandchildren about the national holiday in 2020 that had no parties, no parades, but instead saw everyone staying at home to protect each other. In years to come, let them say of us, when things were at their worst, we were at our best.
We suddenly retreated to ourselves, frightened, a collective fear that we had never experienced before. But like a nosy neighbour, we kept casting our eyes over the fence to the east. Maybe we were getting it wrong.
I'm shaking hands continuously. I was at a hospital the other night where I think there were actually a few coronavirus patients, and I shook hands with everybody, you'll be pleased to know, and I continue to shake hands, and I think it's very important that we, you know, people obviously can make up their own minds. I think that Matt has said that people must make up their own minds, but I think the scientific evidence is, well, I'll hand over to the experts, but our judgment is wash. Washing your hands is the crucial thing.
Our collective enemy had a name, but we still knew so little about COVID-19. How did it transmit? Why would it suddenly stop at 2 metres? Media around the world ramped a story that no one wanted to believe.
The Ship of Shame.
Everything's kind of ripe for cross-infection.
Tonight on 60 Minutes, the Ruby Princess debacle.
They just let us off the boat.
We were all expecting to be tested.
Negligence, isn't it?
How a colossal stuff-up.
Your dad gets off the ship on Thursday.
Passed away the following Monday.
Has supercharged the virus.
We searched for hand sanitizer. We worried about ventilators. We saw our doctors and our nurses getting sick. All the time watching other countries, knowing that they were 2 weeks ahead of us.
The virus storm swept through these beautiful ancient streets. This medieval town and its modern city is utterly locked down. Only a few venture out. Everyone knows someone who has died or is ill, and everyone is scared.
A population that wouldn't have been able to spell epidemiology suddenly became experts. The news was so overwhelming that some simply tuned out. Others sought solace in lies rather than dealing with reality.
Over the last few weeks, some people have been saying online that the virus is harmless or even that it doesn't exist.
Numerous sites and groups online have been falsely claiming that this virus is a result of some sort of biological warfare, some sort of bioweapon, or even created by the pharmaceutical industry to try to sell more vaccines.
One particularly persistent falsehood, 5G mobile networks transmit COVID-19.
We were paralyzed by not being able to protect ourselves. Are those we loved? How did the virus spread? Was it in the air or stuck on surfaces? Governments globally fumbled over whether masks worked.
The real anxiety is that if they recommend us to use face masks, people will actually get hold of N95 respiratory masks or surgical masks that are actually in severe need for health workers and also care workers. The Centre for Disease Control in the United States and the Department of Health in the UK both say that the sort of face covering you should be using is made of a couple of layers of cotton cloth.
Face coverings suddenly became fashion statements, but we collectively lost our smile as we desperately tried to do something, anything, that would bring the horror to an end.
We've all been cleaning our hands, keeping 2 metres apart, and covering coughs and sneezes to stop the spread of COVID-19. We can also do this by wearing a face covering. Face coverings help reduce the spread of the virus, especially from people who don't know they have it. Avoid touching the front of your mask, and wear one anywhere it's difficult to stay 2 metres apart.
As the year wore on, we went from not knowing anyone who had it, to knowing those who did, to knowing those who died. We heard countless stories that caused us to stop in our tracks.
3 years ago, I held my mom as she gave up her last breath. I'm not ready. Nobody could ever be ready for this. Everybody thinks it's a joke. It's not a joke. I don't know what more or how much more I could express.
There was the debate over lockdowns versus the cost to the economy. A bizarre trade-off where the ultimate cost was human life.
The anxiety is just as crazy at the minute. When we reopened in June, there was a certain amount of optimism of where we were going to be in the future of the next 6 months. But to be sort of facing the bigger set of problems now, and granted, the time of year that it's leading into, it's heartbreaking. But we have to sort of rise above it and try and be optimistic that we will get through it and there will be business at the end of this as well.
We endured the first wave, then a second, and then talk of a third. Our year noted as much by lockdowns as by regular milestones. What would it mean for Christmas?
Christmas is happening whether people want to or not.
I think it would be pretty grim, to be honest.
It'd be a very lonely spot at the Christmas dinner table if I couldn't go and have it with all my family and my siblings and everybody, and my 95-year-old mother.
We were promised a meaningful Christmas, one that would be embraced by a weary population as a reward for a never-ending year.
So keep doing the right thing, not just for yourself, but for those who matter most to you. Let's stay safe this Christmas.
The cost of that Christmas became apparent immediately, and our hearts sank again. It seemed like it was never going to end, but there was hope.
Margaret Keenan, with one sleeve pulled back, took one historic leap forward. The 90-year-old grandmother became the first person in the world to receive a clinically approved vaccine.
I would say go for it. Go for it because it's free and it's the best thing that's ever happened.
Amid the darkest days of the darkest January, the rollout of vaccines began here, with a granny in Dublin.
I think Annie's is a great story. She was born in Christchurch, grew up in the Liberties. She's been in hospital for a number of weeks and sadly her husband passed away 4 weeks before her admission. But she's 10 grandchildren, and one of whom actually works in the ICU department in St James's, which is a nice turn to it as well.
Now vaccines are rolling out widely, but supply cannot match demand from a population desperate for this to end. COVID has robbed us of family, of livelihoods, and at times of all hope. Our children have fallen silent, and our sports pitches are all empty. Long after this is actually over, the scars will remain.
So what we know about this pandemic is that it's going to be difficult for all children, and that for some kids, it may be devastating. Certainly if children are facing things like the death or serious illness of someone they love, or if they are in conditions where they're not physically safe, or if they're hungry because of the conditions in which they live, that means that they are coping with far more than anyone should be expected to cope with. And there's no question that they may suffer ultimately from anxiety or depression or post-traumatic stress disorder.
The message on mental health isn't as easy as wash your hands or wear a mask. Most people who got COVID, well, they recovered quite quickly. Millions more never got it, yet they're still suffering. 1 year on, we still don't trust tomorrow. Our belief that things will always get better has never been tested in a way that it has been. But instead of the unknown marching towards us, we do have this.
Israeli shopping malls opened for the first time in months of COVID-19 restrictions and lockdowns. A limited number of people are allowed inside stores at the same time. Other venues like hotels and gyms are open only to Israelis holding what are called green passports, which indicate that they have received two doses of the COVID-19 vaccine or have recovered from the virus.
In countries where the vaccine has rolled out quickly, the numbers are staggeringly good. We now have four or five vaccines that appear to be 100% successful at preventing hospitalisation, severe disease and death. Our armchair epidemiology knows that variants may yet challenge that scientific progress, but we know a lot more than we did a year ago about both the virus and ourselves. This was a world war where no bullets were actually fired, but where we all shared the trauma. As a student of history, I always wondered why so much had been written about the First World War and so little written about Spanish flu. Perhaps it was too traumatic to write it down. We may want to forget this past year, but to do that would do a disservice to those who died and those who did their best to help others. It would also ignore the fact that faced with seemingly unending gloom, humanity faced down the challenge together.
And that report on 1 year since the diagnosis of the first case of COVID-19 in Ireland came from Jonathan Healy. Angela's been on. She says, another excellent report from Jonathan. I really enjoy these. Oh, our lost innocence of a year ago.